Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Just a word of warning, I preached this sermon this past Sunday at a congregation where the pastor told me that there was no celebration of the Lord's Supper, not a lot going on, so I preached a 25-minute sermon. Kent, how much time do I have today?
Not 25 minutes.
Yeah. Fasten your seatbelts. This past May, there was a buzz on the internet. There's always something, but a guy was stuffing cash into envelopes and hiding them in various places around San Francisco. A few $100, a few $1,000, just random places, underneath park benches, attached to fences. And then from his Twitter account, he would send out a tweet, his Twitter account being at Twitter Cash, with some clues. And then there'd be this frenzy of people going to find the cash, and you know, they take a selfie or post a video on YouTube or whatever people do with these things, and big hit. Got all kinds of followers. Soon he was leaving cash envelopes in Houston, Madrid, London. Why? Why would someone be so stupid as to leave tens of thousands of dollars laying around in random places for random people to find with apparently no strings attached? That's what everybody wanted to know. This being the internet age, there are no secrets. And so within about a week, his identity was discovered. And it turns out he's a guy who made some money in real estate in the San Francisco area. And he said that he just wanted to share some of the happiness that he had. He'd made lots of money, done pretty well. And he wanted to, you know, pay it forward, in his words. Let other people experience the happiness that he had. I thought about illustrating this today by putting some envelopes of cash around the nave, but maybe a new form of financial aid or something, but decided we didn't have time for that. Once this hit the internet and his identity was discovered, of course, people started commenting. Is this guy just trying to trump up business, make himself known? Was he a moron? Some people called him. Was he narcissistic, playing with people? Because, of course, once you just leave cash laying around for random people to find, you have no control over what they do with it. One person might take that money and pay off an overdue bill. Another person might do even better and pay off somebody else's overdue bill. Somebody else might take that money and rent a hotel room and throw a party and blow it all in one night. You have no control. Leaving random piles of cash around might not be really that good an idea. But then we hear this parable about a sower from Matthew chapter 13. Some guy takes his very valuable stuff and throws it around randomly for random people to find, and he doesn't have any control over what happens. He has no way to know if it will be successful, no way to control whether or not there would be a harvest. It's actually pretty foolish what this farmer does, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to be a farmer or a backyard gardener to know that throwing seed on a path is not going to result in a good harvest. Throwing seed on rocks is not going to be a good harvest. Throwing it among thorns might get a little bit of a plant going, but it's not going to result in a harvest. If this is your method, you will not be successful. The farmer will fail in the very purpose of his job. This is a very reckless farmer. Why? Why is he so reckless? What is Jesus telling us in this parable? By this point in Jesus' ministry, in Matthew chapter 13, things have been going somewhat okay, but not as successful as you might expect for the Son of God. To most people that Jesus had encountered during his earthly ministry, there was no fruit that resulted. Right before this parable in chapter 12, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to test Jesus to find a way to trap him because they want to get rid of him. And immediately before this parable, the disciples are trying to sort out who is in and who is out. Why is it that not everyone is responding to Jesus in the right way? Isn't he the one who would save his people from their sins? Here he is offering freely to heal what is broken, to restore what has been destroyed, to feed, to make whole, to bring back to God, to bring light where there is darkness. Yet most people do not hear. In fact, if you do the math in the parable, only 25% of that seed that the farmer throws out so recklessly actually produces a crop. But that's Jesus' answer to the question of the disciples and a question that we still have today. Why doesn't everyone follow Jesus? Obviously, the farmer's goal and Jesus' goal is to have as big a harvest as he possibly can. The problem is that the land where this farmer works is far from perfect. This field that the farmer has to sow in is not perfectly turned over, rocks picked out, fertilized, manure, deep, rich, black, loamy soil. The world into which Jesus came and the world in which you and I live is far from the perfect, fertile field that the Father had created it to be. We see this every day, don't we? This broken world. Every day we flip on the news or check a website, and it's another place of anger and death. A few weeks ago, it was Ukraine. This week, in the very land where Jesus walked 2,000 years ago, there is hatred and fear and rockets and missiles and airstrikes and death. We see this in our own land as it becomes more and more difficult to live as children of light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In a world where it's becoming more and more difficult to raise our children to be what God has created them to be, when they're shown all kinds of alternative ways to live, alternative voices. And we see this in ourselves. Because it's not just people out there who are pressed by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. We ourselves are so shaped by our consumer society that we think we always need more, better, newer, and that we shouldn't share with others because it means less for ourselves. This world is broken. It is full of beaten down, rocky, weedy places. And it has been ever since sin entered the world so long ago. Far from the garden that God had created it to be for his people, we have inherited a world that is deaf and broken to its Savior. This is the world into which Jesus came to share his message, one in which there is little chance of success. But so desperate is he for the harvest that he throws his seeds everywhere so that at least some will receive his good news. You see, this parable is not about you. This parable is not about trying to figure out if you're the right kind of soil. Thank goodness you're not like those people who used to come to church but don't. Maybe you're not so proud as to think that you're 100, but maybe you're at least a 60, and with a little bit of effort, maybe you can make it up to 100. No, this parable is not about you at all. This parable is about a farmer who wants to get his word out so desperately. So he throws his seeds everywhere. He sows it in the excellent soil, and he throws it among weeds and thorns. So eager is the farmer for the harvest that he even throws it on a path seeds bouncing off like marbles on concrete. Why? Because he wants a harvest. You see, this story is about a reckless farmer because the story is really about Jesus, who spreads his good news everywhere he possibly can. He goes to tax collectors and sinners. He goes to scribes and Pharisees. What chance is there with those people? He goes to fishermen. He goes to lepers. He goes to a rich young man who thinks he has it all figured out, and he goes to a mother whose only son has just died. He goes to his kinsmen, the Jews, the chosen people who were heirs of the promises, and he goes to the Gentiles who had no clue at all who the creator of the heavens and the earth was. He goes into a broken world that needs his good news so badly that he is willing to risk wasting his work so that there will be a harvest of faith. And thanks be to God that this good news has come to your ears again and again and again. I can tell you with certainty that this word is for you, because the sower has gone out and spread that word. And not only has he gone out to spread that word, to speak that word, he himself is the message. You see, Jesus is the one who stayed faithful to his work. Jesus is the one who, in spite of suffering and death, willingly went to the cross for you. Jesus is the one who was not turned aside by the temptation of the devil. He did not fear persecution and suffering when the thorns came up and choked. He did not turn aside when hardship came his way, when all his followers abandoned. And even though he was king of all creation, he did not use that for his own benefit, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, becoming obedient to death on a cross. There he laid down his life for you and for me. This is why the farmer is so desperate for the harvest. His faithful work is the only way that this broken world and our broken lives can be restored to its creator. And he has laid down his life and taken it up again so that you and I could be a part of his harvest. Thanks be to God that this word has come to us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.